Welcome, everyone, to the Kathy Lee Parker Show, the number one place for enlightened and entertaining guests, positive vibes, and information that is spot on. And now, for your listening pleasure, your host, Kathy Lee Parker.
Thank you for joining in with me today. I have with me Clay Neves, and he is outstanding. This gentleman has accomplished many things in 34 years of sales management experience and frontline sales leadership to, you know, executive VP of sales. He's have run some couple Fortune 500 companies, and he's very outstanding. Welcome, Clay, to my show.
Well, welcome, and I'm not really outstanding right now. I'm actually comfortably sitting.
I bet you are. But you have a lot to say. I have been in some of your classes and your seminars, and you have taught me very well in sales and to be a better salesperson. It's always good to keep learning in that department. And tell my listeners a little bit about yourself. About you and your personal life, or a little bit about your personal life, if you can.
Oh, you bet. I live in West Jordan, Utah, and with my wife and her mother. And we have a cat named Dante, and because we used to live with a dog, and he put that dog through the nine circles of hell. So, he's a great cat, though. So we're more cat people than dog people. I know that dogs are much more popular today. But that's a little bit about me. I love the outdoors here, hiking, and I have a Mustang convertible, Kathy, that you know, we just love to take up the canyons. When I have friends and associates coming from out of town, I'm the guy that gives them the tour up the canyons. I know all the back roads, and so we go top down, and you really haven't experienced the canyon unless you've gone top down. I mean, with the top of the car down, just to be clear. Yeah.
Wonderful. You know, Clay, I noticed that you, which I really did not know this about you, that you worked with a couple Fortune 500 companies like Citibank and Pacific Bell. And there was another one.
Well, early on in my career, I had just a tremendous opportunity of working with a major telemarketing service bureau. Service bureau basically is a company that contracts out with major companies to do either custom. Okay. Okay, hold on just a moment. Let me see if I can do better. Can you hear me now?
Wonderful.
Okay. So basically, I was over some programs that were very large. I mean, we're talking hundreds of stations of telemarketers working. And the first big one that I was able to really get into was one for GTE Sprint back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Where we were selling long-distance calling codes. I don't know if either of you are even old enough to know what that means.
I probably don't know.
Back,
with that.
Way back when you had the only long-distance choice you had was AT&T before the breakup. And then after the court settlement, that all changed. But until then, they had all these companies, and Sprint was one of them, owned by GTE at the time, where you'd buy in, and they'd give you a number And then you'd need to call that number and enter another calling code, and then you'd dial your target number to get through. It was a really big hassle, but it saved quite a bit of money, and did some tremendous work there, and then did a lot of work with AT&T, with Citibank in terms of credit card offerings, either upselling from a Visa to a preferred Visa or cross-selling from a Visa to a MasterCard, and the NFL card, and a lot of the other the American Airlines Advantage card, and all of those. So I worked really a long time with Citibank and all of their different card offerings that way. And again, those were on a large scale. But it was very interesting. I had something that I experienced in terms of monitoring thousands of calls, mm-hmm. being able to get a real sense in terms of what keeps a conversation going and what shuts a conversation down, mm-hmm. and was able to script programs or script projects. And then just starting from the beginning, monitoring hundreds of calls and seeing where the call was constraining, being able to re-script that, put it out on the floor, retrain people, and then see it just move past that point and deepening the conversation until we worked all the way through the presentation, mm-hmm. to where it was consistently and statistically closing at a certain percentage. Kind of scientific.
Mm. Interesting. Fun. Clay, tell me about Showtime. What was that like, working for Showtime?
Oh, yeah, Showtime. Now, this was a really interesting project back in the mid-80s. Or, uh-huh. I'm sorry, mid-90s.
Yeah, I was going to say 90s, yeah.
And it was back in the day of the big sea dishes, if you remember them.
Yeah,
satellite dishes that were,
yes.
that were big, not the little ones.
The
but it was on the tail
ones.
End where that pro that technology was phasing out, and the new smaller dishes were coming in. Mm-hmm. Well, there was probably about 2 or 3 years of left in their C dish subscription base. Mm-hmm. And so what they wanted to do was make sure that they sold as much programming in that sector before it gave out. So they hired me to come in and change their inbound customer service oriented call center into an outbound, more aggressive program selling call center.
Wow.
And so we trained a lot of the reps on how to sell, and not a big leap from customer service, just a little flick of the mindset, so to speak. And you know, whether your customer service is sales, and sales is customer service, so they share a lot of the same foundation. Sales can be more directive, but really, where you have the difference is selling is, I think, a little more leadership,
mm-hmm.
where you're kind of giving them some opportunities they may not have thought of before, and fitting the right solution to a problem they may not have been thinking about, but now realize that what we're offering is much better than what they had. Whereas mm-hmm. in customer service, they're very much aware of the problem they'd like to solve. And it's about getting the best solution for them in that. But they're a little more motivated on the customer service side.
Mm-hmm. Well, Clay, tell me about your company, which is Personal Sales Dynamics. And what is Personal Sales Dynamics?
Well, the one thing that I have learned over the years, Kathy Lee, is that sales is personal. And by that, I mean, I haven't met a salesperson who does not sell to a person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's who we sell to. And all buying decisions are made by people. And here's what may surprise you.
all buying decisions, whether you're talking business to consumer or business to business, are made primarily for personal reasons. Now, most salespeople, particularly in the business-to-business area, sell business reasons. And that's sometimes why they don't really get a decision. They don't get down to the personal level where decisions are really made.
Give me an example. Give me an example.
Well, for example, let's say that I am a I'm a production manager in a manufacturing company.
Okay.
And somebody is trying to sell me some technology that may increase my output capacity. Okay, so he comes in with his machine. And he's telling me all about the output capacity of these things, and I'm seeing that my key performance indicator is so many units per day, and that could increase by 25%, and I get bonuses if I can increase that by 25%. Now, what do you think motivates me the most, the bonus I receive, or the fact that I'm increasing productivity by 25%?
I would say both.
Well, one is I'm excited about it, but I'm mainly excited about it because it
for
means
the, I can get
a
bonuses
bonus
out
for me. It makes me look good. It gives me better prospects for my future, which means I may be able to move to a better neighborhood. I may be able to put my kids in better schools. They may be able to, maybe Harvard, I'm thinking now. And so he's not
So you're saying more production, right? Increase your production.
Yeah, but that's a means to the end. And most salespeople are selling the means to the end rather than the end motivation. Which usually always is personal, and it has a personal meaning to whoever's making the decision. It could be as esoteric as my boss will be proud of me. My boss will think better of me. My wife will be proud of me. My employees will like me more. But there's always that, at least the subconscious level, that drives the quicker decisions. Mm-hmm. It's like what I say, we have to get out of selling to the head, because nobody makes decisions in their head. They think about it in their head. Mm-hmm. Where they make decisions is in their gut and in their heart. Mm-hmm. And so there's a point where you start understanding the benefit, the base benefit, the obvious benefit of, let's say, the line production technology that increases productivity by 25%. That's the obvious thing. But why is that important? What do they get out of that? What does that give them? And then what does that give them? And then what does that give them? And as you start to climb that ladder, you make a transition at a certain point from the business decision to a personal decision, because the benefits start affecting them personally. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. I can see that. Yes.
And then the other aspect of personal is, and this just really floors me when you look at a lot of sales tactics.
Okay.
Go about talking about building making sales, but build relationships. But yet, we go about, when we're in sales mode, doing the exact opposite of what builds relationships. In other words, we try to take it too far too soon, maybe, beyond which the person is comfortable in trusting us at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say that the key to a happy life, personally, depends on the quality of your personal relationships?
Yes. Yes.
And isn't it the same in business, that the quality of your business depends on the quality of your business relationships?
Yes, because I have relationships that have been gone on for like 10 to 14
Absolutely.
Years, because I developed that relationship.
If we're looking at the long game of sales and building relationships over time, we don't want to sacrifice that long term for a short term gain.
Right.
Does that make sense? And
yes.
A lot of times, if we would just take the same approach at first in building a relationship, in building trust, in building rapport, and move then into finding a need and making our sales process more about their problem than our product, then it becomes more personal, and we're able to build the kind of relationship that keeps customers not only buying in the first place in higher percentages, but keeps them coming back in higher percentages over time.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
What I mean. Now, that's the personal part. And then there's the dynamic part, which is the one difference between building relationships personally and building relationships as part of your business is that I could really be happy personally in my personal life if I had even one really incredible relationship. In business, there's usually a number of relationships that you need in order for your business model to work. You have fewer than those relationships, and usually your business does not succeed.
Interesting.
And usually those business relationships are in a quantity higher than you can manage, like you manage personal relationships. Therefore, the system has to help you. And you have to have a system to leverage being able to manage the quantity of relationship that your business model requires. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
So the dynamic is how do I create a system where I can basically scale the number of relationships I can bring into my business and manage, so that the customer experience is personal, that the customer experience is delightful, the customer experience is magnetic and keeps them coming back.
Right.
But I can scale that. I can scale that indefinitely. Now, you can't scale it indefinitely. But keep scaling it until I can't scale it anymore. I mean, it's as big as it could be. Does that
Clay,
make sense?
Clay, I had a client a while ago, but I had a client who dropped my business, and went on to somebody else. But then I come walking in, I ran into this client. Hey, how you doing? Developed that relationship again. And then he picked up the phone and he called me because, Kathy, come back. Can we talk again? Show me what you're doing. And I did, and he came back and picked up where we left off.
Right.
So yes, I'm saying more of the relationship, even though he went and tried another company, which they sold more on the dynamics, but didn't develop that relationship, but more on the demand, you know what I mean? And then,
right.
Yeah, it didn't click. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I saw that, and I just sat back and watched. And then I ran into this client in a later situation, business to business, and he wanted me to come back. So I just thought that was quite interesting.
That feels good, doesn't it?
But it was more of a relationship and business, but it was more of a long-term, like, hi, how are you doing? How's, your new home or something, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, come and see me. Show me what you're doing. And then
right.
I pick them back up again. So, and then he now feels more comfortable because I have that trust relationship. I see where you're coming
beautiful.
At. Yeah,
now,
so it is true to have that relationship. Like, for example, I want to pick up a new client, okay? Met them at a networking meeting. I go to their office. I look around. I see anything that sparks my attention, you know? And then I start a conversation with that first before I get into the dynamics of the business. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Is that what you see? And then you know, 20 minutes later, we get into the, you know, the business one-on-one why I'm there.
Yeah.
Because they develop that trust with me. They're comfortable, trust. And now it's more a nice relationship when I come by. So they,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So they feel more comfortable instead of, oh no, here she comes. She's going to sell me something. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So
well,
I see what you're saying,
this,
but
like
a lot of people do that. I see that networking meetings, they just claw down my throat. This is what I have, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, but when the one person comes up to me, gets to know me, how are you, Kathy? You know what I mean? I see you got a new car or something like that. You know, they develop that relationship with me, and then I start trusting. And then I say, turn around and say, well, tell me what you do, you know? So then I got their attention. Yeah, so that's what you're saying. It sounds old school, but it's not. It's because we're humans. Is that correct? Is that what you see?
That's correct. And, you know, if we want to get people interested in us, the best way to get them interested is to be interested in them.
Right, yes.
Never ceases to amaze me that when I introduce myself. I don't even sometimes let them know my title or my company.
Right. I noticed that,
I just quickly ask them their name, and then we talk about what they do, and I'm able to get them into a conversation about what they do, and inevitably, within 3 to 5 minutes, in 90% of the cases, they turn to me and say, and what do you do, Clay? Now I'm talking about what I do as an answer to their question rather than something I'm being boorish about and pushing it on them.
Right.
In building personal relationships as well as in building business relationships.
Wonderful.
It comes down to a sensitivity, of building the rapport and trust, a sensitivity of at any given time how much of you does that other person really want?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And understanding where that boundary is and giving that to them and then negotiating the next level. Mm-hmm. Like when I met my wife, you know, it was, would you like to dance? It wasn't, hey, can we talk right now about what we're going to name our children? I didn't do that. You know,
yeah,
I just asked her if she wanted to dance, and then it was, "Would you like another dance?" And then we ended up dancing the whole night.
Right.
But if I had gone up even to her at first and said, "Would you like to dance the entire rest of the evening with me?" She probably would have said no.
Right.
You know,
she
if I would have said,
"Comfortable and build
would
the
you
trust
like to dance
you.
The entire evening with me?" And then let's go out to your car and until 3 o'clock in the morning, just talk to each other and get to know one another. She probably would have told me no.
Right. That does happen.
Would you like to dance?
In the singles world, that does happen. You know, it goes both ways, not just with men, but women too. But Clay,
well,
we'll be right back after these messages. We're going to go into commercial. We'll be right after these messages.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Hidden Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Head and Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
Is your power bill so high you can't see straight? I can help you out with that. This is Rick Cove, owner of LED Installation Solutions. I can cut your power bill in half and give you more light. Give us a call for your free consultation. 801-623-1246. Again, this is Rick Cove, 801-623-1246.
Hey everyone, this is Rachel, owner of Club 90 in Sandy, Utah, and we've been providing great entertainment since 1979. This year, Club 90 will be celebrating our 40-year anniversary on Saturday, December 7th. This huge party will be emceed by Mark Cobell, news anchor at KUTV Channel 2. Club 90 has great food, serving lunch and dinner daily and breakfast on Saturday and Sunday, with daily lunch specials Monday through Friday. There's great entertainment and events daily, including live bands, DJs, karaoke, and so much more. If you're looking for a place for your upcoming private event, company party, or fundraiser, Club 90 has plenty of space and private rooms for rental, as well as catering. Club 90 is located at 9065 South Monroe Street in Sandy, just off of I-15, and we're open every day from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. You can visit us on our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram at Club 90 SLC, or give us a call at 801-566-3254.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm sitting here with Clay Neves, and he is the founder and owner of Personal Sales Dynamics. And Clay, tell me what makes you so different from all the other sales trainers out there.
You know, I don't know that there's anything under the sun that is new in sales. I think it comes down to good human relations for the most part.
That's what we were talking about earlier, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I see there's two dimensions to really effective selling. Mm-hmm. Number one is what I call the affective dimension. And that is the people skills, the empathy, I think it starts with. An ability to see the problem through the eyes of the person that's having the problem and really feel their pain. On the other end of the spectrum is what I call the directive mode, and that is, maybe people skills. It's all about getting the sale done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, and I think we've all experienced both of those. You know, we walked into a store, maybe a retail store, and we've run into an affective salesperson who is all empathy, all nice, but they never lead us to making a buying decision, and we leave the store having spent an hour trying to find out something we like, and though they were friendly, and we made friends with them, we somehow didn't feel like they were very helpful to us. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah, there's a few of those. Clay, I like it when I go into a store, I've been there a couple times, and they know my name. And they
exactly.
mention my name. And then they know what I'm looking for. Or it'll say something like, how did you like that suit that you bought?
It's
you know,
personal
to the fit.
Touch.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I start talking and everything, and I tell them what I'm looking for, too. You
exactly.
know? And I speak up a little bit. There's some people that are kind of quiet, but they should pick up on that. You know, if a person's kind of quiet
yeah.
and, you know, feel them out and, you know, and,
yeah.
of course, give them space, but yet still help them out. Still help them out. And
yep.
then you go into some stores, the person's all over you.
Well, and that's the directive mode is where you come in and is somewhat cliche for, perhaps some automobile salespeople. What's it going to take to get you in a car today, right off the bat? I mean, they're asking a closing question. And so it's a false dichotomy to say that either one of those is wrong, or that you're either one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Both alone are ineffective. Mm-hmm. Where you become effective as a salesperson is where you use both dimensions. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of order, and it's a matter of transitioning. But where do you think the best place to start would be, as with any relationship? It's with the affective side, right? The empathy.
Right, the affective, yes.
And as you start to feel for the other person, it automatically brings up curiosity, which is the next step. Mm-hmm. The need to know rather than be known. In other
right.
words, you kind of put off that need to tell them everything you know about every product you have and find out about their problem first. And you do that by asking questions. Mm-hmm. And so that's curiosity. One of the big things I look for in salespeople I hire is, are they truly curious about people? Are they intrigued by a person's situation? And did they ask more than just surface-level questions about what that situation or problem means to the person? Mm-hmm. Once you start getting them in a question mode where the salesperson is asking the questions and the customer is answering, mm-hmm. not only is the salesperson getting information they need to help them understand what the right solution for that problem is, but they begin asking questions that help the customer understand a few things, to help them discover that they have a problem, to help them self-discover that, they may not be able to solve it on their own, to help them discover for themselves what that problem is costing them, okay. to help them make it a priority and an urgency of their own to solve it. And so your questions become not only informative for the salesperson, but enlightening to the client. And that's mm-hmm. what I call leadership, which is mm-hmm. the next phase of sales, mm-hmm. where you're now leading them toward a buying decision. And then the last phase, again, now we're moving more into the directive mode. But because we've built rapport, we can be more directive with people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about the people that can be blunt and honest with you, and it's usually because you have a high level of rapport with them, mm-hmm. that you listen, and
right.
that their feedback is not offensive, but you appreciate it. Now, take somebody you don't know who's giving you that kind of advice, and you're less likely to accept it.
Mm-hmm. What experience What experience have you had the most impact on your career?
I would say two things. Number one was the early on listening to thousands of sales conversations and statistically scoring them, and correlating scripting to sales outcome.
Huh.
And you build an intuition of what to say, how to say it, that helps people through that buying decision process. The second was I spent about 8 years growing the seminar sales channel of a company throughout the United States and Canada from about 40 sell seminars a year to about 250.
Wow.
And so for that
That's
period of time, I was managing the department, but also I was doing seminars myself. And so somewhere 1 to 3 times a week, you know, 42 weeks out of the year, somewhere in the United States or Canada, I was in a room with anywhere from, you know, 20 to 100 people. And after 3 hours with me, consistently 25% or more would enroll in our program. And what I learned from group dynamics and how to have members of the audience help sell each other and how to deliver the sales message in a group also greatly enhanced my ability to sell one-on-one. And my past experience in statistical quality control for sales conversations helped me understand how to gear the seminars so that as I gave them, every individual in the audience felt like it was a one-to-one. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
And there's ways that you learn to be able to relate to every single individual in the group. Uh-huh. Now, that gets a little harder when it reaches over maybe 30 people in the room.
Okay.
You know, and definitely at 100, it's a little less intimate. But still, by relating to the people at least close enough to you, people are by proxy relating to you that you can't see or connect with directly, say when you're presenting to 100 people.
Okay.
But all of that came back into presenting one-on-one more powerfully.
Wow. Okay, Clay, who has the most influence on your career? Who had the most influence on your career, I should say?
I would have to say that the person that had the most influence on my career was a man by the name of Alan Bostrom. And he was the owner of a company called Universal Accounting Center, the company I did the seminars for. Mm-hmm. And I had the privilege of reporting to him for about 9 of my 11 years there as a senior VP. I reported directly to him. And he was a CPA, a brilliant guy. He had come up professionally through the accounting department of ExxonMobil. And so he'd had some extreme experience. Mm-hmm. And so he had also developed some curriculum for teaching small business owners how to do accounting. But he was brilliant at building people and recognizing the strengths in others and complimenting them. So, for example, I told him, I said, Alan, I am very much an accelerator, and I can see that you're very good at the brakes. So that's what I need. I'm just going to go headlong, and you tell me when I need to slow. You apply the brakes, because I'm not good at that.
And yeah, so I always like really, that in a companion.
Yeah, we were.
I always like that in a companion salesperson, where one person just goes and goes and goes and the other person just pulls back. You know what I mean? When to slow that down. And so tell me, how would you define sales?
How would I define sales? I would define sales as the leadership of people to be able to make a decision that is right for them in solving a problem that your product or service addresses.
Uh-huh.
Because most people have a hard time making decisions.
Correct.
And I think the role of a salesperson is to handhold them and walk them through the process that takes away their barriers of making a decision and helps them see clearly the priority and urgency of solving the problem, because the problem is costing them more than the solution. And a lot of people don't calculate the opportunity cost of not buying. And so one of the things that a good salesperson will do is help them understand the true cost, both real costs and opportunity costs. By that I mean direct costs. Those are the costs that actually come out of your checking account. But you also have to help them understand the indirect costs, the opportunity costs. That's the money that isn't coming into the checking account that the problem is costing them.
Here's a question coming in from one of our listeners. What are some of the common mistakes that kill a sale?
Let's see, common mistakes. The first one I would say would be not establishing the rapport at the beginning and not establishing rapport throughout, so that when you get down to the end, you can be tough with them. Mm-hmm. Okay. The second is, and this is probably even more important than that first thing I mentioned, most salespeople tell about the product instead of ask about the problem. If I were to look at effective sales in one word, it would be questions. Selling is at best a sequence of questions that lead somebody logically through that process of making a decision. And the biggest mistake a lot of salespeople make is that a lot of times the first question they ask is, so do you want to buy? Well, if that's the first question you're asking, the answer is probably going to be no.
You don't want to say that. It's a red flag.
But if you get them in a rhythm of I ask, you answer, I ask, you answer, I ask, you answer, I ask, you answer, Visa or MasterCard, you can build that questioning sequence so that the closing question is really a fait accompli. It's already decided. And it's like, could you pass me the salt? It's something of that insignificant level of decision-making.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have another question from Judy from Florida.
Okay.
What are some of the secrets to sales success?
Well, I look back on the night I met my wife again. And again, this is why sales are personal. All human interaction is selling.
Okay.
All human interaction, all relationships come down to a value for value exchange. And good relationships are an ongoing value for value exchange.
So
now,
that's what you'd say the secret?
Well,
to a sales success.
In business, it's my product for your money, but there's also other values that are being exchanged. I make you feel important. You become loyal to me. So there's some other emotional values that are exchanged in good relationships, even business relationships. But the secret, one of the secrets, I go back to my wife, is that I close incrementally, okay? In other words, the first close is, would you like to dance? So the first thing you need to focus on before you sell and ask for anything more is this something that interests you enough to even meet with me? I mean, would it be worth an hour of our time to see how this could apply to your business? If they're not going to give you their time, they're not going to buy. They're not ready to buy.
Right.
So you want to make sure you get them closed on the appointment first. Secondly, they have to be able to agree that they have a problem. You have to be able to close them on the fact that they are in position A and they want to be at position B and they're not there yet.
Would it be, Clay, one of the secrets is to listen to what the client wants?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the flip side of the coin of asking questions.
Right.
And again, it's very important that you be focused on them and listening and asking questions in a very conversational manner. I see three different modes of asking questions. There's the conversational tone that I think is the most important and effective for selling. Some people, when they ask questions in a selling mode, get into what I call survey mode. In other words, it's just like they're going down a list of questions and there's no real conversation to it. They're just checking off answers. The other side is what I call interrogation mode, where you feel like you're being given the third degree and why are you asking that, you know, and you're not comfortable with, and that's usually because you're rushing the questioning sequence. You're not taking them through questions that are easier to answer to get to the questions that get them to think more. If you'll do that first, it's amazing what people will tell you.
So what you're saying, some of the questions you ask the business owner, the manager, is more lightly and not so complicated.
Well, yes, and don't ask complex questions.
Right.
Break them
right.
down into individual simple questions.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think.
So,
you
know, for example, I had a client that has an online training program for HR for companies, and he was meeting with a CFO, a COO, and a CEO of a company, and we had worked out this sequence for them to kind of understand the value, which is not the price, the value of his service. The value of your product is the cost of the problem, and so you want to help them calculate the cost of the problem. Now, you could go in and ask, okay, so how much is that costing you that your employees are losing productivity because of personal issues? They don't know. So you walk them through the calculation, make it very easy. So, John, do you think there's any of your employees that are losing productivity because of personal issues? Well, yeah. About how many, what percentage of your employees do you think are doing that? I don't know. And then they started to confer with each other and they came up with, half of them. Well, and you have how many employees? 150. So about 75 employees that are having problems with personal issues are losing productivity. Yeah. Well, how much do you think they're losing? Percentage of the week? Well, maybe, 20%. And well, it's like a whole day. Well, 8 hours and 75 employees times 8 hours. Wow, that's like 600 hours. Wow. What do you pay them on average? You know, about $20 an hour, they said. With 600 hours and $20, that's $12,000 a week. You know, you make that into a month, that's like 50 grand. Wow. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're just making it easy for them to calculate in their mind. They were conferring, and they were giving the answers on each one of these. That's the way you need to do it.
Right. Correct. That's,
but if you just come out at first, you wouldn't have got a good answer. It's like, don't make me think. There's a book on website development called Don't Make Me Think, I read years ago. And it was just that when you put a website together, it's got to be so intuitive that, you know, you don't have to make them think about what you do. It just comes easy.
True.
And you want to make your questions very easy to answer.
Okay. And you can get, Clay, here's another one. Why have you said that? A sales is a performance of art. What do you mean by that?
Oh, sales is a performing art. In fact, you know, when in the movie business, you know, when an actor has a part and he plays it well, we say that he sold the part. In other words, what that means is that as we're watching the movie, we no longer consider that person as the actor playing the role. We actually consider that actor as the role.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, I'm just trying to think of a really good one. You know, you get an Al Pacino who plays the Sonny, or not Sonny, what was his name in The Godfather? Michael.
Michael
Corleone.
Okay.
You watch that movie and it gets to the point, you don't see Al Pacino anymore. You see Michael Corleone.
Uh-huh.
You're not
true.
Considering him as Al Pacino playing Michael Corleone. You see him as Michael Corleone. Because he's making it so real and so authentic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fake. It's not acting.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's acting at its finest. It's an art. Sales is the same.
It's true. The
role of the guide that helps them through the buying decision.
I want to pick this up right after these messages because I got some questions asked about that.
Okay.
So we'll be right back after these messages.
Great.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Head & Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Head & Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
Is your power bill so high you can't see straight? I can help you out with that. This is Rick Cove, owner of LED Installation Solutions. I can cut your power bill in half and give you more light. Give us a call for your free consultation. 801-623-1246. Again, this is Rick Cove, 801-623-1246.
Hey everyone, this is Rachel, owner of Club 90 in Sandy, Utah, and we've been providing great entertainment since 1979. This year, Club 90 will be celebrating our 40-year anniversary on Saturday, December 7th. This huge party will be emceed by Mark Cobell, news anchor at KUTV Channel 2. Club 90 has great food, serving lunch and dinner daily and breakfast on Saturday and Sunday, with daily lunch specials Monday through Friday. There's great entertainment and events daily, including live bands, DJs, karaoke, and so much more. If you're looking for a place for your upcoming private event, company party, or fundraiser, Club 90 has plenty of space and private rooms for rental, as well as catering. Club 90 is located at 9065 South Monroe Street in Sandy, just off of I-15, and we're open every day from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. You can visit us on our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram at Club 90 SLC, or give us a call at 801-566-3254.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm sitting here with Clay Neves, and he's the founder and owner of Personal Sales Dynamics. And Clay, we were talking about sales is a performance of art.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, I find it to be true. You know, it's like a good sales car salesman. He has to perform to get to sell that car. Or any type of sales. Is that correct?
Yeah. But again, I want to make sure that I'm not being misunderstood when I say performance. It's the highest level of performance when it's not a performance, when it's real. But it comes when you become so practiced at your art, at your craft, that it doesn't look, it doesn't seem, or I should say, it isn't acting anymore. Mm-hmm. It is real. You do like the person. You're not just acting like you like the person. You're not selling. You're connecting. You're engaging. You're enrolling. Mm-hmm. You're being a leader. You are actually making a difference in that person's life to make a significant decision that will change their life for good, mm-hmm. that they would not have ever made on their own.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is the culmination of the best type of selling, where you can walk away from a transaction saying they never would have bought that had I not helped them make that decision. They never would have known the joy of having that solution. They just didn't have the guts to do it themselves. They were too uncomfortable with it. They were too frightened of it. But I walked them through it, showed them how it could be done, and, mm-hmm. and gave them the confidence to be able to make that decision themselves to really improve their life.
Okay, Clay, I'm getting flagged down. Is there anything, I mean, can you give us some information to contact you?
Certainly. If they'd like to contact me, you can text me at 801-792-7929. Mm-hmm. And I also put out a daily golden sales nugget. Kathy, I think you may be getting it. But if they would like to text sales to 57838, so that's the number you text to, 57838, and you put in the message sales, and then you'll receive a response and type yes to that because it's double opt-in. They'll be on my list to get a daily golden sales nugget. It took me 35 years, day by day, to build my expertise, and now I'm giving it back day by day. And so we have a lot of fun with that. It's just a short text. They get 160 characters every morning about 8 o'clock during the week.
Wonderful. Clay, thank you so much for coming on my show and for educating us on sales or being the good sales rep or salesperson, you know, in our field. And for those who have any questions, to, stay tuned, and we will give out more information on how to get a hold of Clay. So thank you so much, Clay, for coming on my show, and you have a wonderful evening.
My pleasure, Kathy Lee. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And for everybody else, thank you for listening in. Have a great evening.